Thank you, McKenna. Good morning. It's an honor and privilege to be here today. I was telling my mom yesterday this sermon was 50 years in the making. I'd like to start off with an opening prayer that I saw in a Daily Word several years ago, and I think it pretty much covers everything. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Good morning, Heavenly Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I pray we live this day in your presence and please you more each day. Lord Jesus, I pray we take up our cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray you fill us with yourself and your fruit ripens in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Holy Blessed Trinity, three persons in one God, please lead us and guide us in all that we do, and let thy will be our will, and let us walk forward confidently, sure what thou hast planned for us is better than anything we could plan for ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, sometimes a pastor starts the service off by saying, God is good, and the congregation says,
all the time.
You know, maybe some of you are going through some trials and maybe wondering really how good God is. You may be wondering if God even knows who you are. Well, Matthew tells us God knows us so well, the very hairs on our head are numbered. For someone follically challenged like myself, that's not very comforting. You know, life is difficult. Jobs may forsake you, health may forsake you, friends, even family may forsake you, but our great God will never forsake us. The Old Testament promises us, the Lord himself goes before you, he will be with you, he will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. You know, a friend of mine's mother once told him, there'll be a day when you feel like you're all alone. You'll want and need help, but no one will be able to help you. Everyone will experience a time like this, and when that time comes, know that you can say the Lord's Prayer and Jesus will come to you. He will be with you in this time of need. All you need to do is ask. I believe that to be true. My sermon is titled Strength in Scripture because I believe the only way to get through the trials and tribulations of this life is through God and the strength received from God's Word. The scripture that was read today was Psalm 91, which is known as the Protection Psalm. A story I read several years ago in a military devotional talked about the U.S. Army's 91st Infantry Brigade in World War I and how they were preparing to enter combat in Europe. Most of the men were green soldiers who had never seen combat. Their commander was a devout Christian. He called an assembly of his men where he gave each a little card on which was printed the 91st Psalm. They agreed to recite the soldier's psalm daily. The 91st Brigade was engaged in three of the bloodiest battles of World War I. While other American units similarly engaged had up to 90% casualties, the 91st Brigade did not suffer a single combat-related casualty. There truly is strength in Scripture. I believe that there are some keys in finding strength in Scripture. The first key is to know God's Word. Know and memorize God's Word well enough where it's etched in every corner of your mind. The Old Testament says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. You know, most of us have memorized the Lord's Prayer or Psalm 23. When reading the Bible, I found many of the verses were 10 words long and were easy to remember. One can't tell by looking at me, but I exercise from time to time. One day I decided to use these verses in place of numbers for keeping track of repetitions. Some of these verses include, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Protect us, O Lord. In you we seek our refuge. If God is with us, who can be against us? Now this method didn't make me any stronger or thinner, but for me, it was another way to spend some quality time with God and to meditate on his word. Let's face it, a person's troubles magnify at night when one's alone with their thoughts. But Jesus told us, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." God's word will give you rest. Meditate on his word while you lay awake, and soon you will find rest. When I was working on this sermon, I would lay in bed and go over it in my mind, and soon I would fall fast asleep, which hopefully doesn't happen to any of you today. The second key is faith. We as Christians walk by faith, not by sight. In Hebrews 11, which is known as the Faith Hall of Fame, we are told that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mountain, as small as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer." Albert Einstein once said, "Life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving." This can apply to the Christian life. Many believers by faith keep moving ahead through painful and trying circumstances. But when they experience a personal moral failure, they lose their balance and fall. Their regret and feeling of unworthiness of God's forgiveness may then keep them down, and they lose their faith. The Bible gives us many examples of those who have experienced serious personal failure. Abraham lied to Pharaoh about his wife Sarah. Jacob deceived his father to acquire Esau's blessing. And Moses disobeyed God by striking the rock instead of speaking to it. Despite their personal failures, we are told in Hebrews 11 that all these obtained a good testimony through faith. You know, we find ourselves in impossible situations, see no way out, feel trapped, hemmed in, and paralyzed. The walls begin to close in and darkness pervades because we allow our human fears to overwhelm our divine faith. Fear stifles, faith liberates. Fear holds back, faith moves forward. Fear terrifies, faith comforts. Fear despairs, but faith brings hope. Faith gives us peace beyond all understanding. The next key to finding strength in Scripture is through prayer and perseverance. Ephesians tells us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. In Philippians, it says, "The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." The great thing about praying is you can do it anywhere: kneeling, standing, sitting, laying down, walking, running, driving, as long as you're not prayer texting. As long as you're not prayer texting. I believe God loves to hear from us all the time. As for perseverance, James tells us to consider pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I think sometimes we've all felt we've had a little bit more joy than we can handle. But the book of Job tells us, when he has tested us, we will come forth as gold. The next key is love. In Corinthians, it talks about faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Jesus said, "The greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself." To me, love can be something as simple as holding the door open for someone, shoveling one's driveway, or helping a stranger in need. Or the next time you're in line at the store, instead of texting or talking on the phone or grumbling about the line being too slow or too long, maybe talk to the person in line with you or to the checker. You never know what's going on in their lives and maybe how much they could use a kind word. God could have put you in that line for a reason. Love is forgiving. When Jesus was asked by Peter, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he has sinned against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Jesus said, "When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins." You know, most of the time, grudges go on so long that we forget what we were mad about. Life is too short, goes by too fast. Forgive, just as your Father in heaven has forgiven you of your sins through the life of Jesus. The last key is to be open to receive God. Look for him anywhere and everywhere, in any situation, good or bad. I was having a bad week one day and went to a chiropractor's office for an adjustment. On the way, I was telling God, you know what, I really could use some encouragement. While I was waiting, I saw this book called Stilling the Storm that they were handing out at the chiropractor's office. It's by a local author. And on the back of it, it said, no matter how rough the water gets, Jesus is in the boat with you. He is moving you to safe and solid ground. Another time, I was having a bad month one day, and a young man came into the office looking for a handout. I'd wasted most of the afternoon on the phone, and just I was really in no mood for this. But as I was about ready to throw him out, I thought to myself, this is a test. This is a test. The devil had his money on me throwing him out, but God wanted me to show him some kindness. So I went back into my desk, and I grabbed my pocket Bible, put a $10 bill in it. I said to this young man, I said, here's some money, but I also want you to have this Bible. The young man pulled out the same Bible, tattered and torn, and said he'd been praying for a new Bible. I don't know who was happier, but God made both our days. Now, my problems weren't magically resolved or disappeared by any of this happening, but to me, it was God's way of telling me, hang in there. I'm always there for you. I'd like to close with a portion of Lamentations 3 that speaks of God's mercy. I think most of us going through life have felt like Jeremiah at one time or another. For I have been deprived of peace. I've forgotten what prosperity is. So I say my splendor is gone and all that I'd hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. And then he kind of has a little bit of a revelation here. You could just picture him looking up to the sky, up to God. And he says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the ones who seek him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. You know, perhaps you feel your world is crashing in around you. It may be a deep personal loss, a tragedy in your family, or some other great trial. If you have a seemingly impossible need today, remember that the hand that supplied your greatest need, the forgiveness of sin, is the same hand that can adequately supply all your needs. Trust him to accomplish things that seem impossible. He provides the right solutions, lighting paths that once were dim. Look to God's word and you will find strength in Scripture. Let us pray. Father, in the midst of our uncertainties and doubts, give us faith in divine possibilities. Whatever trial we find in this life, let us find strength in your word and lean not upon our own understanding, but acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you will direct our path. Amen.